Okay. All right. All right. You will have it in a minute. We're going to pray and then I'll go get them. Oh, yes. Everybody warm enough?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Is it cold enough at your house, Xiao Ying? It is interesting. Amen. Amen. Joel, will you open our time in prayer, please?
I was talking about around.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you very much.
I don't think you have page 20 either, according to everybody else. I don't know what happened. The devil got my computer. Okay. You need page 22, Peter? Huh?
You just gave it.
I gave you 20? No, I didn't give you 20. Everybody lacks 20. There, now everybody has 20. And I still got some printing. All right. Great verse. Great verse. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Yeah. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the world, on the earth. I will keep you from. I like from. From is interesting. I will keep you from. I won't keep you in it. I won't keep you during it. Amen?
You're on page 18?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I will keep you from it. A huge difference. If my house is on fire and the firemen keep me from running into the house to rescue my pets, I am being kept from the fire. Right? I'm not in the fire. I don't have to deal with the fire. I'm being kept from. Doesn't say I'm going to go in it. It doesn't say I'm going to go in it for 3.5 years or in it for 7 years. It says I'm going to be kept from. Let me get Sir Possible the notes. And I got to go get him page 20 as well. Let me go get you page 22. All right, bless God, now we won't run out.
Where's Revelation 3:10 on these?
It's on page 18.
3:9. We don't have 18.
Oh, that's
probably 3:9. Oh, we didn't bring that one. Okay.
All right. Okay, it's at the top of page 18. Revelation 3:10. All right. So, I will keep you from. Now, If you study this carefully, notice in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there's one verse that the Holy Ghost keeps repeating. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is never said again after the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Okay? So we have it in Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, 2:17, 2:29, 3:6, 3:13, and 3:22. Okay? After that, nah. We don't see it, we don't hear it. Okay? This promise of being kept from the hour of testing is not limited to the church in Philadelphia. It's a promise for the universal church as well. If I separate Revelation 2 and 3 and say it's just for those particular churches addressing to, then I've got to say the letter to the church at Ephesus was just for Ephesus. Right? If I'm going to keep the same argument and stay that. No, no, no. The apostles wrote their letters to one particular church, but to the churches in general. In fact, historians tell us that the letters were passed around. That the letter to the Ephesians, after the church at Ephesus had read it, they probably passed it to the church at Philadelphia, or the church at Philippi, or to the church at Corinth. Corinth may have not passed their letters around, because their letters were more slap on the side of the head than anything, because they were doing so many things wrong. But yet, the teaching in the letters to the Corinthian church about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit was vitally important, so I'm sure they were passed around as well. See? There's an hour of trial ahead. Not just for Asia Minor, but for the entire globe. I wish that when I talked about the tribulation period, I could tell you, you can go to Uzbekistan and it won't touch you there. Or you can go to Mongolia and it wouldn't touch you there. That's on my bucket list. Mongolia is on my bucket list because I want to ride their horses. But no, there's no place you're going to be able to go to escape. All nations, Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, Joel.
She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne.
She gave birth to a male child, okay? So, he's going to help, and he's going to punish the entire world for what? For what reason is God's wrath being poured out on the world?
Rejection of Jesus?
Yes. Yeah. And wickedness. We read Sunday about in Leviticus chapter 18, God's pronouncement on what would happen to Israel should they adopt the customs of the land in which they were going. And the Bible stated very plainly, the land will vomit you out. I won't have to, the land's going to. And so that's what's happening today, all through our world. Catastrophes and everything, it's nature rebelling against man. Now Charles Ryle, who penned the Rye Study Bible, said this, that this promise concerns the church's relation to the tribulation period is almost never debated. The reason is in the verse itself. This time of trial is about to come on all the inhabited earth. It is worldwide, and all this inhabited earth, that is, on its people. It had not happened up to that time, for it still was in the future, but to come. That's what it says, but to come, right? I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming. King James, about to come. It is not a promise restricted to the church at Philadelphia in the first century, any more than the favorite promises like Philippians 4:13 or Philippians 4:19 or 1 Corinthians 10:13 are limited to the churches in Philippi and Corinth. Okay? So some people make the drastic mistake because they don't understand hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the Word of God must interpret the Word of God. I can't bring outside sources in to interpret the Word of God. The Word of God must interpret itself. See? Also, the risen Lord said, goes on Dr. Rye, to all the seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3 that all the churches should heed what he said. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen? He doesn't say what the Spirit says to the church, which would be the singular, and it would indicate that church that he's writing to. No, all the churches. Okay? Jesus' promise in this verse is fantastic. I love the security that's included. He isn't going to keep us through the tribulation. He's going to keep us from the tribulation. He doesn't say, I will keep you for 3 months, or I will keep you for 2 years, or I will keep you for 6 years. He says, I will keep you from. And I like that. I happen to know what the preposition from means. Right? From. Okay? Now, some scholars teach that the church is going to go through the tribulation just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to endure the fiery furnace. Well, isn't it interesting? Were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being punished for wickedness? What were they being punished for? Obedience. And who was punishing them? Nebuchadnezzar. Not God. Not God. What's that?
That's a picture of the tribulation.
No, it's not. Can't. It can't. Well, that you can. You can say it's a picture of the tribulation if you want to pull it way out of context. Easy. Because there is no way anywhere in the book of Revelation you can find God saying, I'm going to punish the church along with the wicked. There's not one instance in the entire Bible where a just God punishes those who obey with the punishment he's reserved for those who disobey.
Right, I agree.
So therefore, if he does that, he would be unjust. Therefore, the tribulation period is the time of Jacob's trouble.
Israel.
Yeah, I'm not Jacob. One person here is Jacob. That's it. Yes, he is too. Two people are Jacob. Mr. Jack and Mr. Peter. We have two Jacobs here. The rest of us are not Jacob. The time of Jacob's trouble. The time of God's punishment of Israel for having what?
Rejected.
Rejected.
Christ as Savior.
Yeah, as
Savior.
Well, Savior, yeah, but not in their terms.
Messiah.
They rejected Christ as Messiah. What is the outcome of their going through the tribulation period?
They will accept it.
Yeah! They run wholeheartedly back to God and to the Messiah. Isn't that something? That's really something. That happens at the 3.5 year period of the tribulation period. Okay? He doesn't say during the trial, I'll keep you. He doesn't say in the trial, I'll keep you. He says, I'll keep you from the trial. This requires a removal before the trial starts. There's no other way to interpret that. None. And that is just as true in the Greek as it is in the Latin, Vulgate, as it is in the English. There's no way to get some other interpretation out of the Greek, out of that. It all is from the hour of trial. You will not have to go through the hour of trial. Now, Dr. Rye gives a great illustration. Listen to this. As a teacher, I frequently give exams. He was a teacher at the Dallas Theological Seminary. Let's suppose that I announce an exam will occur on such and such a day at the regular class time. Then suppose I say, I want to make a promise to the students whose grade average for the semester so far is an A. The promise is this, I will keep you from the exam. What does that mean?
They don't have to take it.
Those who have A's don't have to take the exam. Don't have to take question number one, but the rest they don't have to take. No. Don't have to ignore 1, 2 through 5 and take 5 through 10. No. Don't even have to bother to be given the test. Right? Now, I could keep my promise to those A students this way. I would tell them to come to the exam, I would pass out the exam to everyone, and I would give the A students a sheet containing the answers. Okay? They would take the exam and yet in reality be kept from the exam. They would live through the time but not suffer the trial. This is what some people believe about the tribulation period, protection while enduring. But then you've got to redefine the word from. Okay? Because the A students were not kept from the exam. They were given the answers to the exam. Now, grant you, we have the answers to the trial. Yes, we do. But to be kept from it means that we don't have to even go into it. But if I said to the class, says Dr. Rye, I'm given an exam next week. I want to make a promise to all the A students. I will keep you from the hour of the exam. They would understand clearly that it is to be kept from the hour of the test, exempt them from being present during that hour. Amen? If the teacher says to me, I'm going to keep you from taking the exam, that means I don't even have to bother to come. Right? Is that what you believe? Yes, that's what I believe. This is what we believe in pre-tribulation rapture. The promise of Revelation 3:10. The promise came from the risen Savior, who himself is the deliverer from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Now, if Revelation 3:10 only means that the church is going to be kept safe during the tribulation period, like some people believe, then we have a problem as we read the rest of Revelation. Because Revelation 3:10 has proved to be false and faulty. Now, during the tribulation period, especially during the first half, multitudes of people are going to flee to Jesus and they're going to be saved. Amen. But they'll not be safe. The ruthless government of the Antichrist is going to do what? Huh? He's going to slaughter them. So they'll not be safe. They'll reach out, he'll search them out, and he'll slaughter them in terrible ways. You want proof of that? Well, I can give you a bunch of scriptures if you want to write them down. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Revelation 11, verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 11. I put them in here somewhere, did I?
They're on the page.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm glad I did that. Thank you, Caroline. Maybe you ought to come up here and teach. Revelation 13, 7. And Revelation 13, 15, Revelation 14, 13, Revelation 17, 6, and Revelation 18, 24. One commentator put it this way. If these are saints and tribulation saints, they are not being kept safe. And Revelation 3:10 is meaningless and needs to be taken out of the scripture. Make sense? Okay? See? On the other hand, if the believers are to be raptured before the tribulation, then what security do we find in Revelation 3:10? Incredible security, right? I don't have to go in there. I don't have to go. I'm being kept from. Jesus' promise helps me sleep better. Right? This is very simple language. This is not language that you have to complicate. This is not language that you have to get out a Greek lexicon in order to understand it. Just two letters in the Greek. E-K. E-K. Okay? Now, I put that in somewhere. Where did I put it? Huh? Yeah, I'm trying to move quickly here. Okay. E-K. Now, E-K is what he uses here. You can read the rest of those verses. I'm not going to take the time tonight to read them. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Huh? Yep. If you use scripture to determine what you believe, this makes sense. If you use something else and then try to find scripture to back it up, it's not going to make any sense. Okay? Ek. 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 Translated from Revelation 3:10. This preposition is found over 800 times in the New Testament. And it's always translated out of, from, or an equivalent translation with the very same meaning in virtually every single instance. So here's the context. Ek is rendered out of 100 times. And I put there Matthew 2:15. And Jesus remained there until the death of Herod, that it would be fulfilled what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Ek, Egypt, I called my son. Does that mean Jesus stayed in Egypt?
No.
No. If he gets called out of, he has to come out of. Right? Matthew 7:5. Okay. Debbie, Matthew 7:5.
You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
So if I take the log out of my own eye, I no longer have a log in the eye. Right? It's out. Okay, Matthew 15:19, Xiao Yang.
For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander.
Out of, ek. Okay? Matthew 27. Verses 52 through 53. Let's see. Peter.
The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after the resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many.
So that means they exited, right? Out of, exit, right? Revelation 3:16, Caroline.
So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth.
Oof, ek, out of. You'll no longer be in my mouth. You're coming out. So that is a real simple translation. It's rendered this way all through scripture. So the promise is clear and plain. I will keep you from, ek, the hour of testing. Not just from any persecution. Not just from any coming time that will affect the whole earth. The only way to escape the time when the events take place is not to be where the events are happening. Right? That's the only way. See? The only place that meets this qualification is glory. Because the devil can't reach us, nor can the Antichrist. Don't make Scripture more complicated than it is. Okay? Now, to me, this has to be significant because I'm moving right along at a good rate here tonight. This is better, isn't it, Joel?
Got it.
Because Christians will be spared from the torment described in Revelation 3:10, we are not exempt from trials and sufferings before Revelation 3:10. Amen? We're not. We're going to have good night. 14 below zero this morning, that's a trial. How many would agree? I mean, Monday I was shoveling out here and my hands got so cold they got red. I had to come into the office and sit there, put a little electric heater on and warmed up my hands. And I had snowmobile gloves on. But it was so cold. I didn't have mittens, I had gloves. We in Maine had to use snowmobile mittens. That means your four fingers are together. Only your thumb is separate. Because that's the only way your hand could stay warm. I call that a trial. I call this winter a trial. Amen? I call being sick a trial. How many call being sick a trial? Some call it tribulation, don't we, Debbie? See, so that doesn't mean the Bible, in fact, talks exactly the opposite. The world hates you, Jesus said, right? John 15:18. Let's see. John 15:18, possible. Do you have this?
Yeah.
Okay.
If the world hates you, know that it has hated you before it hated you.
If the world hates you, know that it has hated you, me, before it hated you. So, we're gonna in the world you're gonna have tribulation, that verse, right? But be of good cheer, John 16:33. I have overcome the world. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind. Get happy. Get excited. Don't always get happy. Don't always get excited, do you? 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. All this is before Revelation 3:10. Okay? Not talking about the same thing. Not even close. Okay? Gerald Stanton helps us understand this when he says, today suffering is often the portion of the Christian, but not wrath. Okay? But not wrath. Wrath is reserved for the unbeliever. Now, I just remembered this and I didn't put it down here, but let me ask you a question. If the devil cannot defeat Jesus, correct? And the devil cannot defeat Jesus, correct? Jesus is the eternal victor, right? What is the logic of why he attacks us so brutally and so often?
To hurt Jesus.
Yeah. Because we're the apple of his eye. All right? So imagine in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist is let loose. He has all kinds of power. The false prophet is with him, can resurrect from the dead. All this happens, he's going to slaughter us like no tomorrow. Because that's what the devil wants to do. And there's not going to be anybody to be raptured after the first 3.5 years or the whole 7 years. Depends on what your view is of the rapture. Because remember the souls under the altar? What are they saying?
How long?
How long will you not avenge our blood on those that dwell on the earth? And what did the angel tell them?
Chill.
Chill. Until when?
The number's complete.
Yeah, until the rest that are going to be slaughtered get up here as well. What? How many people are under the altar? John said, impossible to count. A group of people without number. There wouldn't be anybody left to rapture if the Antichrist had his way. He'd kill us all. Because none of us would accept the mark of the beast, correct?
Correct.
And if you don't accept the mark of the beast, you're going to be killed, according to the Word of God. See? The tribulation period, this is important, represents the outpouring of God's wrath on evil. It was never intended for that which is righteous and that which is good. It's God's wrath being poured out on evil. God did not appoint us to wrath. We've read that several times. And then Romans 5, 9. I've got it all through your scriptures here. Since, therefore, we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. God's wrath is always, always has as its target evil. Never the righteous. And never justice. The flood is the evidence of his wrath. But they were giving 120 years of preaching so that they could be spared. The angels came down to Sodom and Gomorrah to spare them, and even to spare Lot primarily, but they would have rescued everybody had everybody wanted to be rescued. Because the fire and brimstone was on evil. It was not on the righteous. If I have to go through the tribulation period, then God's going to have to apologize to me because he's not treating me like he treated Lot. He's treating me totally different. He's treating me different from from the way he treated Noah. Yes?
So, during the rapture, and he said the dead will go first, the dead in Christ will go first, then will be caught up.
Yes.
So if they are going to Jesus, who are these people who are like Christ, like the dead who...
Under the altar?
Right. Revelation 6, 9, 11, they cried with loud voice also. How
yeah, those are the ones killed during the tribulation period.
Well, if they already...
No. The ones that are dead, that's a good way to put it, Xiao Yang, because it proves the point. The dead in Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4 rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's before the tribulation period. Revelation 6 is during the tribulation period. Two different groups of people.
Wait for 7 years?
Huh? Like, what?
So they only need to wait for 7 years?
I don't know.
Crying over a bench?
I don't know because the book of Revelation doesn't say how long they have to wait. Doesn't say. It just tells them, wait until. But it doesn't say how long. We do know that the tribulation period ends. What's that?
They wait till the number is complete, which is those who are killed by Antichrist during the tribulation.
Yeah.
So that's only 7 years.
Yeah.
So they only need to wait for 7 years and they are crying out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what happens at the end of the seven years? Huh? Yeah. We come back down with the Lord because the Antichrist does what? What does the Antichrist do that brings Jesus back? You don't remember?
The abomination of desolation that he sets.
No. No. At the end of the tribulation period, he amasses the armies of the world against Jerusalem. And God says, I've now had it up to here.
Armageddon.
Yeah. This is done. And the Bible says he returns. Remember? Puts his foot on Mount Olive and splits it asunder. He's returning with all his saints, the Bible says. You and I, who have been raptured, return with him. He destroys the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming, and the Bible says he throws him and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Then he grabs Satan, and he says, I've had it with you. And he throws him into a bottomless pit. There's no bottom to it. And seals it up. And sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's when it all ends, Xiaoyang. See? It can't go beyond the 7-year period. Because Jesus said in Matthew, except those days are shortened, no man would be saved. So he's already determined, according to the book of Daniel, he's already determined exactly how long it's going to be. That's the problem with a mid-trib and a post-trib rapture. I can put a date on it. Because God is exact. God does not do things just willy-nilly. He's exact. His order is exact. Right? So as a result, you can tell he's a God of order. If you go out in the rain, you're going to get wet. Right? If you don't put a coat on and you go out in this cold, you're going to get cold. Everything God does is exact. And he gave to Daniel the exact, he was so exact, he even told Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen 100 years down the road with the kingdoms that were going to follow him. And it happened exactly the way Daniel said it was going to happen. Who could have imagined that the Greek Empire, when Alexander the Great died, would be divided up amongst 4 generals? Daniel did. He saw it long before it happened. That's the exact God we serve. And he says to me, he says that the tribulation period is going to be 7 years. It's going to start when the Antichrist sets up his kingdom, and it's going to end when Jesus comes down and destroys him with the brightness of his coming. But that period is going to be 7 years. In fact, he says how many days it's going to be. That's how exact it is.
So when the rapture takes place, the 7-year period doesn't actually start until he declares himself?
We don't know. The Bible's not exact. But we kind of think what's going to happen. Where's number 20? I did a bunch of 20s. What did I do with my 20s? Because I haven't given you this. Yeah, here. Here's my 20s. He doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us in the book of Daniel. He doesn't tell us how quick the sequence will be. I kind of think it's going to be real quick. Because remember, when the church goes, according to the apostle, the restraining force that kept evil at bay is now gone. So you can imagine what's going to happen. I mean, we had 4 years of there being no administration, and things went all haywire.
Right.
And can you imagine? There's no Holy Ghost operating in the lives of the Church of Jesus Christ as he is now. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
He's not, because he can't go anywhere. He's everywhere. God is everywhere. So we don't know. I kind of think that when the rapture takes place, we will know. I kind of think we will know, and we'll be able to identify he is going to be the Antichrist. It's so obvious, it's not even funny. But the rapture hasn't taken place yet. And then we get ready and we go, and he takes over and sets up his kingdom. Because things are going to go boom, 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 boom. Remember, the devil thinks he's going to take over everything. He thinks he can win. That's why he does this.
So shortly after that, though, that's the millennial reign?
After the seven-year period, yeah.
And then Satan tries to...
And then Satan is let loose. We don't know how long he's going to be let loose. Yeah. The Bible says he's going to deceive those that are coming out of the millennium. You know, you shake your head.
Though that's the people that came from heaven?
No. No, those are the people here on earth. See, when he is let loose, we cease to rule and reign with Jesus. He ceases to rule and reign. Remember, he's got to give those that are born during the millennial reign of Christ, he's got to give them a chance to say yes or no. See? They've had no choice during the millennium. No choice. They've had to say yes to everything God says. Because he's ruling with a rod of iron, the Bible says.
So but God is walking amongst them with that thousand.
We are.
Yeah,
we are.
With God.
Yeah, we are with Jesus.
Kind of like it was back in Eden.
Yes, it's going to be just like Eden. Yep.
Everything's perfect.
Yeah, the Bible says that a mountain lion is going to come down and he's going to lay with Bootsy and they're going to have fun together. That's what he says. Yeah, that's what he says.
It just makes you think, like, why this thousand years though? You know, like, why?
Ask God.
Yes.
God picked the thousand years.
Let's just get to heaven already.
Yeah. Well, we will. We will be there. We will be there. So for us, there's going to be no millennium.
Yeah.
We're going to rule and reign for a thousand years. But remember, once the rapture takes place and our body's glorified, we no longer live in time and space.
Right.
We no longer live anything about time and space. The Bible says there's no night and there's no day in heaven. Jesus is the light.
So those that are left behind go into the millennial reign, never die.
The ones that are left behind that know the word of God, they won't accept the mark of the beast.
Right.
Because if you accept the mark of the beast, you go to hell.
Right.
So they won't accept it. The beast will kill them. Okay? And they'll be under the altar, a number that cannot be numbered. Along with, remember, we've got 144,000 evangelists preaching the gospel. And those people are going to get saved. And the Antichrist isn't going to like that either. See? So when the millennial reign of Christ ends, and the false prophet and the Antichrist are in the lake of fire, And Satan then is bound and cast into the lake of fire. Then he's going to burn up the entire creation that he made. And he's going to create a brand spanking new one.
Doesn't the Bible say that a day is like a thousand years?
Yeah.
So maybe it's just a new day.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't know.
Right.
Except he does call it a thousand years.
It's going to be a long day.
For us, it won't be.
No.
For us, it's going to be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. It's going to be great. There won't be no pardons being issued.
Oh, wow.
No way. We'll be the justice. We'll be the jury and the judge. So.
Jesus only been gone for 3 days, see?
Okay, so to me, I got a real problem with believing that I serve him faithfully, I obey his word faithfully, I give in to his discipline faithfully, and yet I still have to go through part of the tribulation period or the entire thing. When that was never designed for me, not one verse in the entire Bible gives us any indication that the tribulation period was designed for the church. In fact, the church is never mentioned from chapter 4 to chapter 18. Never mentioned.
Only Israel.
Yeah. Now go ahead and read from Acts chapter 2 to Revelation chapter 4. And tell me what kind of position does the church occupy in those books and chapters of the Bible? And then all of a sudden in Revelation chapter 4, never seen again until Revelation chapter 19. It's really interesting. Really interesting. The tribulation represents the outpouring of God's wrath on evil. And we are not evil. Paul wrote that we're justified by his blood, and I read that. Now, Dr. John Wolford said this. Paul is expressly saying that our appointment is to be caught up to be with Christ. The appointment of the world is for the day of the Lord. And that is the same as a day of wrath. One cannot keep both appointments. I can't keep both appointments. And then you have the little figure, who in the world are the 24 elders? They're there when John gets to heaven in chapter 4, there they are, the 24 elders. Now we believe that they represent 12 and 12. 12 apostles and 12 of those saved prior to the cross and the 12 of those saved after the cross. They represent the church of Jesus Christ. And they're given thrones, and go through the Word of God. Thrones are given to particular people, not everybody. Right? To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. Glory to God. Not everybody. See? Okay? Isn't that well put? I can't keep two appointments. The unsaved will keep an appointment with the wrath of God and the tribulation period, and the saved will keep an appointment to be with Christ in glory, sitting on thrones. Hallelujah. Who has heard of the Great Raid? Great Raid happened near the end of World War II in 1945. This is fantastic. General Douglas MacArthur, one of my heroes, and the U.S. forces had landed in the Philippines, and orders went out from the Japanese military to kill every single prisoner of war before they could be rescued. Okay? MacArthur is going to defeat us. Japan knew for sure they're going to lose. They were already on a losing perspective. So in order for them to do the maximum damage, they said kill all of the soldiers. Many soldiers were shot, many were burned alive within weeks and days of potential freedom. At a camp called Kavanatuan was one of the largest facilities that they had, that the Japanese had, of prisoners of war in the Philippines. And it was the most notorious. Knowing the Japanese would likely kill all the POWs if the U.S. forces got too close and they got an idea they were on their way, MacArthur decided to send a small band of rescuers on an operation to liberate that camp. The raid took place on January 30th. That would be next week, right? Let's see, what's today? 22nd. Yeah, 9 days, not 7 days, 8 days, the 30th, 8 days, next week. More than 100 Army Rangers and Filipino scouts trekked 35 miles behind enemy lines, located the camp, overwhelmed the guards, and set all the prisoners free. Most of these prisoners were too weak to walk, so more than 100 wooden carts were used to wheel them quickly to freedom. In the end, 513 POWs were rescued on that day from certain death. The rescue force suffered 2 casualties, making the Great Raid the most successful rescue mission in the history of U.S. military. The Rapture is going to be a rescue mission. God's going to go behind enemy lines and beat the Antichrist in his own game. Glory to God. The just judgment of God's wrath is on the way. It's going to crush sinfulness. It's going to crush unrighteousness. Just like waves of the ocean smashing through sands of the beach. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Amen? Questions?
So the Antichrist wants to be worshipped.
Yes!
Now, does that apply to evenly to Gentiles, Jews, the saved, the unsaved?
Mm-hmm.
Does he especially want the Jewish people to worship him?
He signs a treaty with them. He wants them to proclaim him to be their Messiah. And they do that. He brings peace to the Middle East. In the same time, he's waging war against the rest of the world to subdue it. But Israel is being protected by him.
Now, this battle, this is going to be like with tanks and air.
Which battle?
The battle between everybody goes against Israel.
You mean Armageddon at the end of the tribulation period? No, it's not going to last but a couple seconds.
But it's not a spiritual thing with angels. You know, it's going to be like
we come back with the Lord. The Bible says specifically he destroys the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming.
Right, but the Antichrist with his forces, it's like
He's going to try to do something. He's just going to be powerless.
It's going to be like a one world government.
Yeah,
like a UN. And,
yeah,
and so you're going to have people from all countries.
Yeah, trying to do their thing, but they're not going to do anything. It's going to happen very, very quickly. There's no way, there is no way the Antichrist will be able to do anything against Jesus and the church force that's coming back with him. No way. We are just, it's way beyond anything this world's ever seen. We have glorified bodies. We can't be killed, Joel. We can't be wounded. We're not subject to time and space. We're not subject to any of the laws of physics. Walls aren't walls for us. Nothing. Could you imagine how long it's going to last? No. You know, walk up to a tank and stick your finger in the gun turret. They'll blow it up and it blows the tank up. No, we are supernatural. We have a glorified body that's just like Jesus's glorified body. Glory. Kind of cool, isn't it? Makes it all worthwhile serving him now, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yes. Anybody else? All right. Amen.